Welcome to Ninja Your Life podcast with your host and Building Thriving Lives coach, Sonia Tom, where you learn how to ninja your life physically, mentally, spiritually, and intuitively using the strategies from the intersection of positive psychology, clinical psychology, fitness training, mindfulness and meditation, and the time-tested wisdom from Sonia's 35-plus years as a martial artist and now 6-degree black belt master. Hi, everybody. How is your mind, body, and spirit doing today? I'd like to welcome all of you to episode 8. I am recording from a sunny, beautiful day in Chicago, Illinois. Actually, I'm on my kitchen counter right now and sort of just thinking, wow, it's almost the end of the year. And wow, have we had quite a whirlwind of a week post-election in the United States. I know some of you are listening in from different countries and also feeling sort of the emotions that we're feeling too. So today I thought we would do on episode 8 a discussion on anger and how to feel good. And maybe taking out a notebook would be a good idea for this one. It's probably going to be a little bit longer. If you're driving, just keep safely driving and remember some of these pointers if you can. Or re-listen to the episode when you get back to a safe place and you can take notes. I think you'll find some of this information valuable and deep and effective and direct and maybe hopeful and optimistic as well. So those of you that are listening in, I would like to thank you so much for supporting Ninja Your Life. This is my 8th episode, and I'm just so grateful to all of you that have given me reviews and positive ratings, and I've even received some private emails at my Gmail account, which is listed in the iTunes introductory paragraph. And just saying how much it's really helped you. And some people have even said that you re-listened to a few of the episodes that really hit home to where you're at, where you're finding yourself in your life right now. And that means so much to me because I really want to help people build thriving lives. And I really mean it. And I share a lot of my own experiences and try to be as transparent as I can. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for supporting this podcast. So you're ready to ninja your life today? We're talking about anger. And hang in there, it's actually going to have a little positive turn to it. So let's go there right now and talk a little bit about our emotions. And I can't help to think about the 5 hindrances that are taught in Buddhist psychology as sort of an opener. We talk about the hindrances of basically that keep us from feeling flow and happiness and centeredness and groundedness. And they become obstacles even in our own meditation and mindfulness practice. So they appear as obstacles. These are the energies that take us out of feeling present. And if you've ever found yourself feeling anger, for example, which is under the category of aversion in the 5 hindrances, you pretty much get sucked up into that emotion. You're not present anymore. You live from your shoulders and above. There's this kind of, your head almost feels blown up and you're very much walking into this swirl of thoughts. And most of them, as we've discussed before, really haven't even happened. And we just make up storylines after storylines and get deeper into believing our thoughts. So getting lost in our thoughts and feelings really can interfere with leading a thriving life. And in order for us to really ninja our life, we really want to make sure that we emotionally regulate our life too. And I know for one, I have a hard time sometimes, especially after the emotional week that the United States has had after the election. And, you know, even in all different areas of my life that I've experienced anger, it's hard. It's hard not to get lost in our thoughts. But you know what? I also have been trained and I'm not able, I don't allow the thoughts as much as I used to become bigger than they are, if that makes sense. And that will hopefully down the road of this podcast make a lot more sense to you. So in other words, they don't have to be obstacles. Actually, you know, when I was training with a couple of my Buddhist mentors back in the early 2000s, they actually were telling me very informative wisdom that these are our wisest teachers is the five hindrances. And you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, what are these five hindrances? So they are desire, which basically refers to, you know, we attach and wish for something like right now, I want it right now, and it creates tension, right? Or I want something different, or I want something more. I would feel happy or peaceful if only, that whole if only thing, desire. So that's like wishing to be someone different or having something different than what you're experiencing right now. And then aversion, which is today, the second one is aversion, I really want to talk about today. This is having anger or ill will towards the actual moment, the present moment. So it's not a place of acceptance of the present moment. Also includes resistance and sometimes aversion. Aversion is about being bored or having fear and being afraid of something. So it does have quite a few different layers to it. And I want to also note, please, that these five hindrances are not bad or good. This is not a judgment call. These are things that can become obstacles. I want us to remember this. So usually what happens with aversion is that we have judgment. That becomes the expression of anger and aversion. And the other couple hindrances that I'd like to mention, but we're not going to dive deeply into them here, but just in case you ever wanted to look them up, is the next one, the third one, is called sloth and torpor, or sleepiness, laziness. And it means just that. Just feeling completely uncentered, sleepy, lazy, heavy, no energy to do good things in this world, absolutely just flat mood. You can tell that depression can also live in this hindrance, and physical fatigue also is a second kind of this laziness. So this is something we have to remember to be able to distinguish between the two of them, is what kind of laziness am I feeling? Am I just physically tired because I've had a long day, or because I just did a very taxing workout, or am I just completely mentally drained and burnt out? The next one, the fourth hindrance, is called restlessness. And this is really the opposite of being lazy, right? This is like being jittery and fidgeting and having absolutely no focus. It's very uncomfortable. I know I get this way sometimes when I drink too much coffee, and I know that's just a physical symptom, but it's restlessness, and I can't get much done. So I have to be very careful with caffeine. What also happens during this time is anxiety. We've got that storm of thoughts, and as we know, thoughts create emotions, and emotions create behaviors. So a lot of times with restlessness, we try to soothe ourselves with vices, right? With things that we try to calm us down. And those vices can actually hurt us, like alcohol and drugs. And then the last one, the fifth one, is doubt. And that's the inner dialogue that happens within our own minds. I cannot do this. This is too much for me. I don't know how to do it. Why is this worth it anyway? This isn't for me. It's just a constant banter with yourself of doubt. And this is actually often expressed as just words in your mind and feelings of just fear, being afraid. But again, remember, all of these five hindrances become obstacles because they are resistance to what is happening in the here and now. So let's go to the aversion part today. Let's talk a little bit about recognizing anger and ill will, because this one is a really strong teacher, especially for some of us right now, having gone through some crisis or trauma or whatever we might be going through that's causing us some chronic anger. And we want to be able to learn from it. So we want to be able to work to balance these thoughts and emotions out by developing. The first thing I'd like to do is actually introducing you to just to develop the opposite. See if that works. Develop thoughts that are of kindness, that are of forgiveness, letting go, zero tension, compassion. Now, I know that sounds, I'm just going to get rid of anger right now on the spot. I'm thinking compassion thoughts. Well, it doesn't work that way so much. If you can do that, that's awesome. I know for my experience, it takes a lot of practice. However, it does get a lot easier because, as we know, when we develop skills, even in the martial arts, as a martial artist, through practice, we develop skills that can cut through things faster, more effective, and easier. So when we try to work with our anger, our aversion, the first thing to do is to simply just recognize it. Wow, I feel angry. And I would be very, very reluctant as to say the words, I am. I would encourage you not to say that. I am angry. It actually has a way of contracting us and making us identify with that emotion. It's much healthier to say, I feel anger. Or I'm thinking angry thoughts. And so that way you have a little bit of a healthy distance from that emotion and it doesn't deplete you as much. And you actually have a sense of control when you say that. When you say, I am angry, there is definitely a sense of not being in control of that emotion. It actually is bigger than you. We don't want that. Okay, so that's the first thing, is to just change your language. Because we do want to communicate it. And as we know, the other thing to do with anger is, besides changing our language when we communicate it, is to try not to suppress it. We don't want to suppress it because it actually can live in our body. But we also don't want to release it by acting it out. So you have to be very careful. So changing our language, number one. Number two, don't suppress it. But number three, don't act it out in unhealthy ways. One way that we can release it, anger, is to simply just breathe. So let's just do that together right now. Let's take three deep breaths together from the belly up towards the lungs. Exhale. Inhale again, nice deep belly breathing, inflating your stomach like it's a balloon, coming up towards the lungs, expanding the rib cage, and releasing, letting go. And then the third breath. Try to do this on your own. Just bring it in. Bottom up inhale. And top down exhale. So how do you feel? It's pretty effective to allow ourselves to breathe through tension. The hard part is, and I know for myself too, is that it's really easy to forget. You know, we usually hold our breath, especially through anger. And aversion has a way of really tensing our muscles. So we want to practice breathing as a way of releasing. And even if we don't feel like it, still do it. Sometimes we don't feel like working out, but we still want to do it. We still want to get the positive outcome. Sometimes we don't feel like going to somebody's graduation or birthday party, but we still do it because it means a lot to them. So another thing that we can do with anger is that we can stay with the emotion and let it release itself. So if we were to change our language and just label it, I feel angry. Remember, we don't want to say I am. And then we don't suppress it. We don't hide it or hibernate it. We don't pack it down into our body. And then we don't act it out on an unhealthy way, but we allow ourselves to stay with the emotion and let it release itself. So this is a very interesting angle, isn't it, on any emotion? Because if we think about it, almost any emotion, not just anger, can be destructive. We can have manic excitement. That can be very destructive. We can have paralyzing fear. We can feel complete depression that just paralyzes us as well. We can have cravings and addictions. All of these are emotions that can be destructive. So let's not give all of the glory to anger, although today is mainly on aversion, anger. But keep an open mind and expand this to other emotions. So if we were to stay with the emotion and let it release itself, how do we do this? Well, one way to do that is to still use your breath as your anchor, asking yourself questions like, where is it located? Where am I feeling this anger in my body? What shape is it? What color is it? What's the texture? What's the volume? What's the speed of it? Does it change over time? These are all ways that you can stay with the emotion and honor it, because I guarantee you, it lets itself go when you do this, kind of staying with the emotion. It's a very wise way of working with anger and not against it. So anger is also can be, and I'd like to really try to encourage you to think this way in an optimistic way, can be positive if we keep the energy. If we drop the label of anger, so here we are again, not identifying with it, but we keep the energy of it, we can actually focus that energy to do something very productive and constructive. So one example that comes to mind that's just very, you know, relevant is the protesting that's going on in the United States and probably in other countries as well about our election results. I don't want to get into politics here because I want this to be a very helpful podcast for everyone. But we are designed as human beings through evolution. And if you don't even believe in evolution, that's fine too. But we are designed to survive. And we're also designed to be against injustice. So how does anger come into this? It actually can be very proactive. It's very true. We can use the action of working towards human rights with the energy of anger, but not necessarily acting it out with the label of anger. I hope this is making sense. It took me a while too, but oh my gosh, it makes so much sense now to me that I can actually still be a peaceful protester in my mind and in my actions, but through against injustice, but I don't need to look angry and act angry, if that helps at all for some of you. And then once we do this, once we stay with the emotion and we let it release itself and we locate it and we look at where does it live in my body? What is the shape of it? What color is it? The texture? Does it change over time? And then we drop the label of anger and we keep the energy to work towards something that we believe in that aligns with our values, but that doesn't hurt other people or myself, right? Once we do this, guess what happens? We get a clear understanding that if we become bigger than the emotion, and we can stand back from it and have a really good vantage point and look at it as if we're on the top of a mountain and we're looking down and we see the emotion, then we can notice not everything needs to be colored by that emotion. It's really cool. I actually have decided to really work on this for the remainder of this year and next year because I just think this is such a powerful teaching that you can allow yourself to honor, respect, accept, don't act it out, don't suppress it, but still be with an emotion and not allow it to take up all the space in your life. It's so powerful. So basically what this is saying is to stop destructive emotions. Today we're talking about anger, when it's small, so that our awareness always stays bigger than the anger. And this is where we get ourselves into trouble, is that when we allow the anger to get bigger than us, that's when we start making bad decisions, we hurt people's feelings, we hurt ourselves, and we just resist and resist and resist. And as we know, energy likes to flow. It does not like to get stuck. And as a martial artist, and all of you martial artists and dancers and artists out there that work with energy, even though all of us do, you know that. Energy doesn't like to get stuck. It doesn't like, because we know what happens, there's pressure that builds. And you can see this even in a water hose if you kink it. And then you let it go, it flows again. Energy wants to flow. Energy can be very, very productive, again, when you take the energy of anger and you use it to flow towards something that you really want. So I hope everybody is getting some value out of this. You know, we started out working with at least getting ourselves introduced to the five hindrances, which become obstacles in our everyday life and cause suffering if we don't work with them. And then we talked about the one hindrance that is termed as aversion and recognizing anger and what to do with it. And kind of using skills and techniques that are more about creating generative moments of, you know, when we're feeling this anger, you know, what we can do to work with it and help ourselves become more, productive and create with it. So the last thing I want to talk to you about is, and this is, again, you know, anger has a tendency to help to not make us feel so great, right? So I wanted to leave you with 8 steps to feeling good every day. And this is actually credited to the late Dr. Wayne Dyer. And I just wanted to remind everybody that these are things that can be very, very helpful if you're feeling like anger is becoming bigger than your awareness. 1, make meditation an everyday practice. Get quiet. Allow yourself to get so familiar and friendly with your breath. And you can face anger and walk in other people's shoes a lot easier when we can face ourselves first. So we got to do our work. 2, become very conscious of the food and the beverages that we eat and drink. Our nourishment has to energize us and strengthen us. And it's important to not have a very high acidic level in our body. So it weakens our life, actually. So when you have like sugars and dairy and flour-based food items, and I call them food items because they're not really food, it really keeps us acidic inside. And this is where we start to really do feel lazy and lethargic and not focused. So eat to strengthen your mind, body, and spirit. Number three, take refuge in high energy substances. In other words, stay away from the low energy substances. And the Buddhist psychology would say to renounce alcohol, caffeine, sugar, drugs, anything that has low energy to it. I'll let you interpret that the way you need to. Number four, become aware of the music that you feed your ears and your mind, because music actually can drain us, it can soothe us, it can strengthen us. So don't forget about music. It's a powerful thing that can completely cheer us up and invigorate. Number five, try to stay away from too much TV and maybe go on a news fast. I know for me, oh my gosh, I've been so attached to CBS News, NBC, CNN after the election, and it's made me feel really crappy. So, you know, as we know, news does feed on fear, and it leaves out a lot of the good things that happen. So I'm trying to do the same thing for myself. Really, really low energy drain, that's for sure, is TV. Number six, become aware of the energy level of your home, your environment, where you sleep. Make it very nurturing and uplifting, peaceful. You might want to, it's at the end of the year right now, but at any time of the year, doesn't have to be end of the year. Just look at every room in your house and see, does this invigorate me or does it drain me? And maybe do something different. Make it more inviting. Number seven, enhance your energy field. And this is with photographs. This is with your vision boards. This is displaying moments of happiness. Get those photographs back up on your refrigerator if you have to, that display love and peace and happiness. And receive. Allow yourself to receive those awesome frequencies in your home. Natural landscapes, I just want to add to, really help. Number eight, this is don't hang out with toxic people. Hang out with people that are successful in the values that you resonate with. Choose to be in close proximity with healthy people. If we truly are the average of the five people that we hang out with, that's pretty scary if we're hanging out with people that like to go out and get drunk and just do the status quo in life. It's definitely not a choice I'd like to make. Definitely too old for that. Hang out with people who see the greatness in you, who don't use your fears and gossip and weaknesses to leverage themselves higher than you and to manipulate you. Basically that one just boils down to feel connected to people that are healthy, spiritually connected, and that are doing great things in this world. And I guess, you know, I said eight steps to feeling good. I'd like to add a ninth one, and that would just be move your body. Movement reduces stress, anger, and anxiety. So that's kind of my addition to this, is just, you know, and even better, move outside. Get some natural vitamin D and move in the natural landscape. So now I bumped it up to nine steps to feeling good, and it was highly inspired by Wayne Dyer in reducing our exposure to the unhealthy, unnecessary fears, and it helps us cope with our emotions. So I hope that you found today's episode 8 helpful, and I just wish all of you a wonderful week and safety and health and happiness. And may you ninja your life every day in some small way. It's the small steps that have the compound effect, remember. Try not to do everything all at once. It just creates, actually, more frustration and anger. So I'm signing off, gonna go and do a run, just a short 2-mile run. And much love and happiness to everybody, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.